Let's stand and pray. I know, Lord, that I commune unworthily of your most pure body and precious blood, that I'm guilty and eat and drink my own judgment because I do not discern the body and blood of you, O Christ my God. But I'm presuming on your compassion. I come to you who has said, he that eats my flesh, drinks my blood, dwells in me, and I in him. Therefore, be merciful, O Lord, and do not rebuke me a sinner, but deal with me according to your mercy. May your holy things be for my purification, healing, enlightenment, protection, salvation, and hallowing of soul and body. Grant us your wisdom and open our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The prayers that I'm praying with you is from St. Basil the Great in the preparation prayers for Holy Communion. I want you to be aware of that because it is a great prayer to pray before taking communion. And as you're preparing yourself to enter into church, you want to know some of these prayers and practice them. It really is a great humbling place. You can sit down if you like. I would like to read to you one of our listeners that is not able to be physically here, wrote a note, and I thought it might encourage us. I know it was an encouragement to myself and Father Stephen. And it said, this series that we began with St. John Cassian and conferences and talking about the stillness before God, we've had two sessions. We're planning to have two more on just that first conference. There are 24 conferences that basically are conversations between St. John Cassian, St. Germanos, and various elders and saints of the very, very early church, about probably 1500, 1600 years ago. But he said, as I'm listening to the lesson was a great continuation from the previous week, and what I've experienced is peace and joy that started seeding itself into my daily life. And this person has had a lot of anxiety, a lot of challenges. And it said, and I've begun reciting the Jesus prayer silently in my heart throughout the day. Based on my history, I found my nightly prayers done silently to produce unexpected results. Actual silence. I expected to see visions like I have in the past, but now it's silence, peace, and joy. Just like you discussed in your lesson, I'm beginning to not just understand the theology, but actually to live the theology. Sin and struggle is not just something to overcome, one and done. It's the forever ongoing struggle and battle we endure as Christians, attempting to win each battle through the mercy of Christ. Abba Moses is a great example that was used in our lessons. What are some of your experiences if you've been practicing some of what we've been teaching during the last 2 weeks? What are some of your experiences? And I hope this note is encouraging to you to know God is working. I know it is to us. But any experiences you want to share from trying to apply the last two lessons? Won't put you on the spot, but I am.
Well, I'll say when it comes to specifically like kind of meditating on the icons and doing the Jesus prayer while doing that, I think I've definitely experienced some peace, I'll say that, and greater focus. I've definitely experienced, I think those are the main two effects that I've experienced from like putting this into practice. And really, I did it, I think I did it like twice this week, pretty much, for like around 2 minutes.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty much.
Good. For those of you who might not remember, we had given an assignment set for maybe a minute minimum. Try to spend time in front of the icon at first, and then we said try 2 minutes, maybe try 4 minutes, and we did that together, just practicing as the window to heaven. We're not worshiping an object of any kind. We're worshiping the person that the object represents, or we're asking the prayers of the saint who has gone before us, that help us, pray for us, so that I can draw near to Christ like you are near to Christ right now, more than ever. And you were so near to Christ while you were on earth, you were experiencing heaven. So we've asked people to do that, because especially in our current society, we have so much coming at us. It's like your phone, right? I mean, constantly different texts might come through, different apps might come through. We've got people expecting us to be in various sessions online through Discord or wherever else you might be, various social media sources. You might be watching YouTube and it might be headline after headline after headline. It might grab you. So instead of having that constantly being your mind, it's saying, how can I be still and know that He is God? And as I experience that stillness, how does that impact the rest of my life as I go into my life? It's incredible the differences that it can make. And then I also gave an assignment last week. I said, what you can try is you might even take a photo of an icon and purposefully put yourself in an awkward position from worldly speaking, sit in a parking lot, put the phone, and watch the icon and pray before God. Say, Lord, help me to be still while the noise is going on around me, while people are walking, while things are happening, because nothing can disturb my stillness if I am in the Lord, if I'm in Christ. And if anything is disturbing my stillness, then that means I've lost focus. And my focus should always be move my thoughts to my heart, making sure that I'm focused only on the Lord. Like Colossians 3 remind us, to put our mind fixed on Jesus Christ at all times. We want to focus on Him above all else. And if we do, amazingly, as the name of Jesus is exalted in our soul, in our being, we are delivered from the distractions of this world. We're delivered from the hamartias, the various passions, various sins and temptations that might try to overcome us. We're able to overcome them rather than them overcome us. And we're able to actually enter into virtue of holiness and various fruits of that virtue as we're still before God. Because as the scripture tells us, with Christ I can do all things, without Christ I can't do anything. John 15 is an example of that. And I know that if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we were reading about that from Philippians 4 last week, then I know if I'm not experiencing His strength, then there's something off. But when I look at 2,000 years of Christian history, and the practice that they have practiced from the beginning, what they learned from Christ and the apostles and the bishops and the saints throughout the centuries, they've practiced these areas that the Holy Spirit has led them and said, try this. This has worked for 2,000 years. And we have examples. We read St. George's example of his life. We read Abba Moses, who was actually a murderer, thief, gang member, gang leader, and he abandoned it all. And what caused him to abandon? He just went to a monastery. The Lord led him there. And he just spent a few hours, a few days with them and goes, the stillness that you have, the peace that you have, the love and joy that you have is moving me to ask you, is there any way that I can have what you're having? And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And he did. And he stood there and went through the testings that they put him through and patience and waited until finally he was received into the church. But he wasn't just received into the church as a lowly one. He was received as a child of God, baptized into the faith. And then he lived the faith so much that years later, he becomes a source of spiritual enlightenment for people who would travel months just to get a few minutes with him. And we have recordings of some of what those conversations were. And that's what we're going through, some of that right now. Any other experiences that you wanted to share, or you don't have to, but feel free to, yes.
I trouble when I get home and to try to practice our homework, because anybody who has children or animals in their house, can try to find silence, and it's like starting a phone call and the child needs to come talk to you.
Yes.
But persistence does pay off. So my word of encouragement is, by the end of this week, my daughter would recognize when I am trying to meditate and pray with God, and she would even join me.
Wow.
So,
beautiful.
Yes, it was very hard at the beginning of the week with homework and my mind wandering and distractions coming, but by the end, I could have a couple minutes, and then when joy does come into your heart, it's contagious and spreads in the house.
Mm-hmm. I love it when your daughter gets to join you. That's really wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And yes, whether you're parents with children, we're trying to make it somewhat easier for parents to experience church, that stillness that we have. And it's hard. You watch the parents struggle. Now, something that we wrote this week was that struggle that you have as a parent is part of your struggle for your salvation, part of your struggle for becoming in Christ, a transformed human being. But we want to encourage each other. We don't want you to feel that you're alone. So if there's any way, we're bringing children to the center, encouraging them to come to the front left, front center, just to sit down and just have them experience the worship before the Lord, so that maybe they will also take that with them and hopefully help them to not only experience the Lord, but give that grace to their parents and not burn out parents sometimes, you know. It's really good, and what joy there is in our soul. I know for me as a parent, when I watch my daughter practice the faith, I'm very moved, deeply moved. And when I watch any child practice the faith, I'm so moved. When I watch a child make the sign of the cross, my whole heart just melts. And we have a beautiful icon that's in the entry of the church on the right, if you notice, where Jesus Christ is bringing the children. And the apostles are trying to stop the children from coming. And Christ says, hush, you know, I want those children. Those children are the ones that they have faith as simple as a child. You need to learn how to have faith as simple as a child to come to me like they are. And it's like, okay, how can I learn? How can I be humble towards the children? Versus how can I rule with a rod of iron over the children? Instead of how can I be humble and learn to grow this child, to bring them near to the Lord? Because the child is mine, but it's also the child belongs to God. And God has loaned that child to me and says, this is a blessing, but they're also my child. So bring them back to me like Abraham. Sacrifice that child back before me. Trust me with a child. And as you do, the Lord will fill that child with the grace of God, because we can only be so long in this world anyway. We're not going to be here permanently. So we want our children drawn near to God. Yes.
I just wanted to say I've been not struggling with my faith this week, but kind of just intellectually digesting a lot of everything. Mm-hmm. Granted, I haven't been here the past two classes, but I have been doing a lot of reading, and I've had a lot of I've been hanging out with a friend of mine that is an atheist. Mm-hmm. And he kind of said something well, you only some people only believe in the church because they believe in it, and that's the only way things that work like that is because of believing in it. But the way that I've had to kind of reel myself back is to be well, if we are really children of God, then we really should be children of God and have faith. And for a long time, I didn't really understand what it meant to just have faith like a child, instead of it is a grand mystery that I can't, I may not ever understand, or humanity itself will never understand, or try to intellectualize into like a concept that people think that they have it figured out, because we don't.
Good point. I want to share that in the Orthodox understanding of how God created mankind, our spirits were meant to be in union with God and humble unto God, and governing our soul, and our soul governing our body. But as a result of the fall, things go upside down. So now the body is trying to govern the soul, and the soul basically disconnected from the Holy Spirit from the Spirit completely. It's is there, but I'm no. So everything is about what's right with my body. So when we think about the intellect, in the modern society, we think of the brain, we think of neurosciences, and we're looking at everything here. But in the Orthodox understanding, the thoughts actually come from the heart. The emotions come from the heart. It's all there. And if you read the scriptures, Jesus Christ, our creator, tells us, from your heart will come everything good or everything evil. This is the sources in the heart. So if you can have your heart purified and cleansed and be still before God, then our thoughts, our intellect can think pure thoughts can have wisdom, not just intellect. So a lot of things that we experience in our challenges is because we're still trying to figure out, how can I figure out just God in my limited human thought process, rather than open up my heart and say, if my heart is humble and I open it up and I'm practicing the faith and I'm being purified, and then I open it up so I can understand God in my heart. I can to measure, and just open up, get a glimpse, connect with Him, fellowship with Him, and I do. Then it overflows from my thoughts to actually be clear, and things connect well.
Yeah, and whenever I'm standing in front of my icon, like I have a Christ, and then I have my Mother Mary with the two angels,
yes,
and with my like incense, and sometimes like whenever I'm like really struggling, I'll like stand in front and just like look at it,
yes,
and realize,
yes,
that it's like, it's so beyond my understanding that like this is the creator of the universe in front of me. Like this is my window into heaven.
Yes, 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 yes. It is definitely, words cannot describe. And many times we're doing our best to express in words, but you have to experience God himself. You're right. Thank you for sharing. Any other thoughts that you want to share along this line? Now, we also want you, as you're doing this, we want you to experience this struggle. When you try to spend an hour before being still before God, you found how hard it is just to do 1 minute and 2 minutes. Try to do 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, just to be still and know that He is God. And you'll notice a billion thoughts will come at us, it seems like over and over. You know what? I got to go take care of my family. I got to go take care of this. I got to take care of my job. I got to go do this. Oh, let me write some. And even spiritual thoughts. I got to go prepare for the Bible study, right? Let me think of how I can include this in the Bible study. At that moment, we have to say, hush. That's important, but not at this moment. I'm seeking God's kingdom, putting Him first right now. Everything else aside. No matter how important it is so important that we had one of our saints, while she was praying and experiencing God, the whole building caught on fire. So another nun comes over and she's in such intense prayer, she has total oblivion to what's going on around her. And the other nun comes over, taps her on the shoulder and just says, we got to go, the place is on fire. And what does she do? She turns around, rebukes the girl and says, she just disturbed this joy, this experience I was having of God, of this holy fire. Like she was actually troubled that she was being disturbed. And instead of saying, oh, thank you, I got to get out of here. And there was no panic. It was complete stillness before God. So much full of God's grace. And many times our saints would have that experience. Now they could, many of our saints have actually survived actual physical fires where they've been thrown into fire and they walk out. Like, and they're there for days and days, and our persecutors think they got us, and God says, no, not this time. Christ actually appears in the fire with our saints and fellowship with them. They're in the middle of the fire, and nothing happens to them.
Just like Daniel.
We've had several saints, Daniel's example, and many other saints that have gone through that. It's quite amazing when you think about it, because in my pre-Orthodox days, I didn't even know. I thought, well, just Daniel, okay, yeah, that's a great thing several thousand years ago. But it's like, wait a minute, it's happened actually throughout time. It happened even in the last 100 years so many times to people that have been horribly persecuted, and somehow God kept them. Sometimes He didn't, and sometimes He did. And sometimes He did for a while, and then He says, now I'll let you come to be with me more fully. But that stillness, to have that peace, that no matter what happens to me, that I could be in the, Elder Thaddeus, who there's a book written that compiles his stuff, and it's called Our Thoughts Determine Our Lives. He's gone through multiple world wars, and he was bombed in Serbia, unfortunately, by our troops. And all this stuff going on, but he had total peace in the midst of it. And he is 92 years old, and he comes and he's speaking, and the traffic stands still just to be able to hear him for a few minutes. And he's describing the stillness that he had in the midst of all the bombing, all the warfare, all the evil that was going on. He was put in concentration camps, you know, all this stuff that he went through. But he had this peace that was truly beyond any human intellectual understanding. And be able to grow in that till when he's like 92 years old, he's still experiencing the grace of God. Now, I want to get a little more into this teaching today. And that is from Abba Moses. He's revealing the secrets of the kingdom of God. He asked St. John Cassian, he asked Germanos, and he said, so tell me, what is the ultimate goal in life? And for those of you who have attended some of our studies, I'm sure you know what his ultimate goal in life is.
Union with God.
Union with God. And what is the Greek term for that?
Theosis.
Theosis, yes. Good. And he says, yes, that's true. But he said, but what should be your focus? How do you get there? That's your long-term goal. What's your short-term goal, is what he put it in.
Well, I would say exalt the name of Jesus, because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Okay.
And, you know, Jesus prayer.
Okay, Jesus prayer, okay. Yeah. And why do we do Jesus prayer? Because Jesus prayer is not a magical prayer, but why do we do it? What is it that we're, like, what is the fruit of it that we want to have?
Well, we want God's grace.
Okay.
And that helps us open up to God's grace.
Good. And what does God's grace, what fruit does it produce in our hearts?
What produces peace,
okay.
Joy, love,
okay.
Repentance.
Okay.
That's good too.
Yeah.
Courage.
Good. What else?
I say humility.
Humility, okay. And all of those can be summarized as purifying our hearts. The scripture tells us, and Jesus Christ told us, the pure in heart will what? In the Beatitudes. They will see God. God who is unseeable, the pure in heart will see God. So our immediate goal is to find ways to have our hearts purified. In order to have the long-term goal of the kingdom of God, eternal life, theosis, partaking of God's divine nature, to transform us, to become all Christ. That you literally, there comes a point when the light of God is filling you so much that I can no longer, like St. Simeon the theologian, I can look and say, I can no longer tell where I start and where God starts and where, like, we're so one. Everything is Christ. Physically, spiritually, my soul, my heart, everything perfectly aligned with God and being one with God. God became man that man might experience this special union, become as God's, children of God, different terms is used in the scriptures. But that is the goal. And to get there, my immediate goal regularly is going to be, how can I purify my heart? So what we're learning right now in these practices of stillness before an icon is not the only way. I'm going to show you another way today to do that besides that. But the goal of all orthodoxy is right now is, how can I purify my heart before the Lord? How can I allow God's grace to purify me? How can I be still, and as I'm still before God and I enter into communion and prayer, as I come to divine liturgy, as I come to Vespers, as I'm living my life, working whatever job I've got, and whether I'm taking care of my family, taking care of my home, taking care of my business or someone else's business, whatever it might be, I'm driving on the road, how can I experience God's stillness at all times so that, just like we read of St. Ephronius, the cook, that I can be a cook and I can be in heaven at the same time. That another, remember we talked about this a few studies ago, that literally another priest, abbot of the monastery, is asking, show me the kingdom of God. And as he goes to a special experience into paradise, he says, what are you doing here? It's like, I'm always here. It's like, wow. And he had to have a special blessing from that person to bring back fruits, physical fruits from heaven, to have next to him that he gets up and he goes, they really are there. And these fruits were bringing great healing grace to people. But that is, that has given us a glimpse of it. Because for the Orthodox, the body, the physical, is not our enemy. The body is meant to be purified. We're meant to be one with God. For the Gnostics and for other religious practices or man-made traditions, the body is evil. The body is nothing. There's like, okay, you know, I die. It's like the body doesn't mean anything. Go burn it. No big deal. For the Orthodox, don't burn it. This is the temple of God. Why would you want to just burn it? Do you want to be your last act to be burning up God's temple? No, this is the God's temple. Yes.
It's almost like that, like in other religions, especially like Protestantism and Gnosticism, there's this like duality, but like almost like a purist type of like mindset whenever it comes to like, oh, like everything that is talked about in scripture is evil, but like they need to have it in within the context of the church. You know, so, yes. But like, just like, you know, like you can't divide Christ between man and being God because he's 100% man and 100% God. So, you know, it was never meant to, like you said, it was just never meant to be like separated.
Yes.
Because it's creation.
Yes. That's why we do, we don't like it. When we die, we know something is wrong. The body was not meant to be disconnected and separated from the soul and the spirit. So there is that kind of pain, but there's also joy knowing that even though my soul is now alive in Christ, I'm longing for that day, one day when my body will be remade and I'll have a new body and it'll be united again. Remember, the body is not, God says, I want you to have a physical being, God the Son, fully God, fully man. He has actually sanctified all of our humanity and brought it before the Lord. So when we have the Lord at the judgment seat, when we see the Lord God becoming man, when we see icons themselves representing the window to heaven, we're saying this is showing us because everything physical is meant to be partaken of God's divine nature. All the scripture tells us all creation is longing and groaning for the children of God to be revealed. And as we are revealed, we are made one with God, all creation is blessed also with us. We're not disconnected. We're actually interconnected. Humanity is interconnected. Creation, all creation is interconnected in Orthodox theology. But here's amazing, and here's another question that I'm going to ask. See if you can solve this puzzle. These great ascetics, remember we talked about Abba Moses, that he was very fervent in killing people and being gang member and all this stuff that he did. Well, then when he became Orthodox, he was equally fervent. Give me fasting, I'll fast. Give me to vigils, I'll do all-night vigils. Very intense, very strict ascetic. And so were John Cassian and Germanos. But he tells them, all these asceticisms that we're doing, the kingdom of God is not gained through asceticism. What? Well, why are you being an ascetic? Why are you putting yourself through all this hardship? He says, the kingdom of God is not gained through asceticism. What could he mean by that?
I mean, I guess my first instinct is to basically say that, you know, ascetic practices, that's not actually what gives us grace. It's God that gives us grace, right? So anything, any kind of spiritual success that we find, it's due to God, not us, right? Because God is the only source of grace. Now, that being said, like we still have agency to participate in that, and that's a part of like ascetic practices, also a part of something like marriage too, right? But again, ultimately it is God alone that saves us, because God is the healer, right? Like, we're in ourselves, we're nothing, right? We're created out of nothing. God is the source of everything. That's basically what I would say.
Okay. So think about the story that we shared a couple of weeks ago from the scriptures, Mary and Martha. Imagine Martha being an ascetic who is doing everything for God and yet is missing the point. And Martha and Mary, who's sitting at the feet of Jesus, she's getting the point. So imagine the ascetic that could be missing the point. And Abba Moses says there are people that are great monks, great ascetics, and they're not experiencing God. Because asceticism itself is not the goal. It's meant to bring down everything in the flesh in order to open myself up, as you were saying, to God and His grace. This is not the goal. It's not about, well, I'm standing in church. How long can I stand? If I stand 4 hours and you only stand 3 hours, then I'm getting more holiness before God. And there are people's mindset like that. They think, if I can only put myself through pain, that's the point. But the point is, as I'm putting myself through whatever suffering that God brings into my life, or I'm imposing certain suffering in order to die to my flesh, in order to fast maybe for a period of time during Lent, or every Wednesdays and Fridays and Sunday morning, as I'm doing all this, I'm trying to say my body doesn't rule me, doesn't control me. But the point is, if I just stop there, I'll do no difference than the pagans. They're pagans, and like in the message today, we were told Satan himself can be the greatest ascetic. He doesn't need to eat. And yet, is Satan saved? No. He's greater ascetic than every one of us. He knows the scriptures better than all of us do. Think about it. He can actually see God and we can't see God. He knows what's going on in the invisible world in many ways. Sometimes, to a degree, right?
I mean, he even speaks with God.
And he even speaks with God. And yet, he's missing the point all the time. And that's what Abba Moses is talking about. It says, asceticism itself is not the goal. And asceticism itself doesn't get you the kingdom of God. But then he says, what does? But you gain the kingdom of God through
humility.
Agape. Love.
Love.
I gain the kingdom of God through love. Agape. Now, he's not talking about just worldly love. And this is the difference. When we're talking about love, many times people go, oh yeah, I watch this romantic movie on TV and that's what that love is all about. Or I think about some mushy kind of love, or you know, something where basically people just run over me and I'm loving them. Or I have some lust for somebody of another person, and I'm fulfilling that lust in a fleshly connection, and that's love. I see, because there are people on TVs and people write books about this kind of garbage, and they actually call that love. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. The love that agape that we're talking about is the kind of love in Orthodox theology, is that partaking of God, being still before Him and saying, Lord, I love you so much that I'm prioritizing you over every other care in this world, over every distraction. You matter more to me than everything else. My food, my body, my pain, my suffering, that doesn't matter as much as you do. I'm seeking your kingdom, your righteousness. I'm putting you first. And as I put that, Jesus Christ promised, if you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He will add all other things unto you, whatever your actual needs are versus your wants. He will add it unto us. He knows we have need of food. And what does He do? We read today, Jesus Christ is at the well, hungry, physically hungry. And as He gives of God's grace to St. Fotini, the Samaritan woman, then the disciples come and say, oh, we brought food for you. He goes, I don't need any food. Where'd you get the food? Did that woman bring food? Where did that food come from? He says, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. This is the meat that He had. This is the food that He had, the nourishment. That's why many saints, as they experienced God's grace, they were so filled. There's no way you could humanly, physically explain that. There's no scientific way to explain that. That someone like St. Anthony could eat a piece of bread, a small piece of bread, every 2 days, sometimes every 10 days, and maybe eat a little date off the tree, and be able to have great health when he's 105 years old. He can walk in the city, perfect eyes, perfect teeth, great shape. And yet all he lived for like 85 years, he'd only been eating bare minimum. Like, you can't even imagine. I mean, there's no way humanly possible that he could have done that on his own and be in perfect health. And he was standing still and sitting still and kneeling still in a cave that was, when you go to see on YouTube, you'll see his cave. You can barely move in that cave. And he would be in there for days and days and months and months at a time. And then they would open they would remove the rock, and he would come out, and like, he was like in great shape, like nothing wrong. So how is this even possible, except for the grace of God? So as we trust God, and this can happen to us anyway, any different way. So imagine this, your job provides some means of finances for you. If you lose your job, you got the news, I lost my job. If you're so still before God and you're so filled with Him, you would go, yes, I would like to have the job. It'd be great to have finances. But guess what? I'm so filled with God that my source of trust is God, not my boss, not my job, not my money, not my... God will provide according to His will. I can be still before Him. Should I work? Yes. Should I find another job? Sure, no problem. That's part of God's call. It is great to do that. But you want to have that stillness, just like Mary rather than Martha. I can be so anxious. I lost my job. Now what am I going to do? My rent is coming up. My mortgage is coming up. My food is, how do I need to buy my food? All these anxieties reveals to us that I'm in a state of Martha. And I said, how can I move from Martha to become more like Mary? I can be calm, still before God in the midst of this. And I said, God is the source of my trust. He is who I'm trusting, and He'll provide. Now, if I go and apply for other jobs, and the Lord will open the door in His time. I'm going to fervently do all I can, but I'm not going to be anxious. You see the difference?
Yeah.
One says, I go through this trial, this suffering, and I become more like Christ. The other one becomes anxious and does everything, whether they get a job or not. That anxiety actually snuffs out the life of God in them. So agape is beautiful. But what can take away agape sometimes is various forms of religiosity. And I want to talk about that, but because of our limited time today, and we started late due to Mother's Day and all that we were doing, I want to honor our physical capacity, and I know how hard it can be. And I'm just going to leave you with this one practice right now, and I want you to think about this because I promise you this one. There's an ancient practice that, besides just standing before an icon and praying, that I want you to be aware of. And that's where the prayer warrior, the Christian, would grab a small stool, it can be a chair, and as they bow down the chair, they purposefully move their eyes, their thoughts, and look at their heart. And one of them even would write like almost like a restricted breathing a little bit. And as they're praying, they're praying deep inside, they're breathing in, and they're praying, Lord Jesus Christ, and as they breathe out, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And as they're breathing in and breathing out, it can be various rhythms. You're just entering your, and they taught this as theology. If the grace of God is flowing in me, as we taught in the scriptures, the energy of God is flowing in me, that I'm actually having my thoughts move into my heart, I'm focusing in my heart, and the energy of God is forming a cleansing grace, circular grace flowing in me from my thoughts into my heart, from my brain to my heart, from my focus, all my focus to God, and allowing His energy to actually flow in me to fill with His grace. This was taught centuries before anybody in New Age tried to come with this kind of garb. They tried to imitate what God has taught. Without Christ, you cannot do this. And even when you do this, the fathers have said, do this with the guidance, making sure you come to a spiritual father, make sure you're checking something. Because as you're drawing near to God, guess what Satan is doing? He goes, this person is drawing near to God. Let me see if I can give him some visions. Let me see if I can give him a voice that is not even the voice of God. I can send a demon to speak to them, to actually draw them near to the demon rather than to God. So there is that spiritual warfare that we got going on. We're trying to draw near to God. Satan doesn't want us to. But we're called to do that, and God is greater, and His angels are greater than anything Satan throws at us. And He gives us spiritual fathers to help us to not get off track. So if there's one thing I want you to try, practice, and if I can ask you to practice for 1 minute now, we're just going to practice that for a minute. How can we exalt Jesus Christ? And all I'm going to ask you, sit wherever you're sitting and just move your eyes to your heart and just focus And as you're breathing in, however restricted breathing that, you know, doesn't matter. I mean, don't overdo it, right? Just calm your whole being, your heart and everything, and just say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. So we're going to do that for 1 minute. How did it go? Were you able to focus for 1 minute on the Lord and have your whole body offered unto the Lord? Your whole focus?
I definitely had some thoughts come through. Just distractions, you know, like things like family life, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But in the last stretch of it, yeah, I was able to focus a little bit.
So if you can, try to this week, just spend 1 minute with the Lord this way. Wherever you're at. Sometimes you're sitting, right? I assume sometimes you sit. When you sit, say, oh, I'm sitting. Reminder, I can pray for 1 minute. Just draw my thoughts into my heart and just be still and know that He is God. Have my whole body humble to my soul and the soul to the Spirit and actually realign my whole being to connect with God rather than have my body write everything else and rule everything else. Is that something you think you can try to do? If you're willing to try, can you raise your hand? Just say, I'm willing to try for 1 minute. Okay, just try. And let me know how it goes. Feel free to drop me an email or call me or text me or something. And if you struggle, let me know what the struggles are. I want to know. And if there's something that we can do to help guide you along that line. All right. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your constant blessing in our lives. Thank you for calling us to become more like Christ Jesus. We ask you to help us to be still and to know that you're God, to seek your kingdom and your righteousness above all else, and to fix our minds on things above, not on the things of this world, that we would have the peace that passes understanding in order to glorify you in all we say and do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.